And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Beat. I'm Brendan Quinn. I'm sure you're so used to hearing Nick's voice intro you hear, but alas, this is a basketball episode. So Meathead Nick is on the shelf doing some football stuff, and I am here with a very special guest, another Brendan, a better, brighter, more handsome Brendan. Brendan Marks, the Athletics, Duke, and North Carolina writer. Anything else? Any other duties you have, Mr.
You know, I just sort of pinch hit wherever I'm asked to. You know, try to be the good company man.
All right. I mean, I'm a three beat man. You know,
it's a lifestyle. It's a decision that we made, and now we have to run with it. So
it's a distinction held by Brendan. So we're versatile. We're well rounded.
And, I need a better nickname. I need, you know, you've got the BQ thing. I need something myself.
We can work on that. We'll see how the podcast goes, and then maybe I'll try to come up with something. It might not be complimentary, but it'll be a nickname.
I'll sign that agreement.
You have to talk about some hoops.
Let's do it. I've been waiting 8 months to do this.
No shit. And you are on site right now in Asheville, North Carolina, at the sunny and beautiful Maui Invitational.
Of course, Asheville, the Maui of the East, as everyone knows it, right? You know, I'm looking out the window right now at some beautiful snow clouds rolling in, and you know, I can see the fog in the mountain that's going to obscure my view tonight. I'm so excited for it.
You are the first writer I know of that brought a jacket to the Maui Invitational.
I also unfortunately had to trade out the Hawaiian arsenal that I had set out. I had to switch for some flannels instead. But
have you at least been to the actual Maui Invitational before?
I have not. And
Jesus.
this year, here's the situation. So I had UNC in the Maui Invitational, and Duke was playing in the Bahamas, and instead I got Asheville in South Dakota.
Wow, man.
What? My girlfriend was really happy about the change of venue, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I mean, look, it's hard to feel bad for anybody right now because everything sucks, but I can genuinely say I feel bad for you. That's pretty awful, man.
It's, you know, at the very least, there's been some good basketball games. There's going to be some more to come, so I can't complain too much about that.
Well, we are going to jump into Michigan State and Duke in this conversation. Obviously, a huge game tomorrow, so we figured, you know, use what is at the Athletics' disposal. We have all these writers all over the place, so why not take advantage? And if you are not familiar with Brendan's work, he's terrific, really good basketball writer. So check out his stuff on the Duke page and the North Carolina page if you're into the Tar Heels. But let's get into it, man. You were at Duke's opener against Coppin State, were you not?
Unfortunately, I was not. And the reason being because no one is allowed at any of Duke's games
right.
for the foreseeable future.
Cameron's on lock. I forgot that. Nobody's exactly. getting into the building. But you watched it. You've been participating in all the preseason Zooms with Duke and blah, blah, blah. I rewatched that Coppin State game on Synergy. And I've been trying to get my hands around this Duke team. And it's like, there's pieces I like, there's players I like, but I don't really like particularly how they all fit together. But at the same time, it's Duke, it's Mike Krzyzewski, and you're like, well, they're probably going to be pretty good, right? What's kind of your early season feel just about this group in general before we get into some specifics about the matchup?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm on the same page with you there. Like, when you look at the pieces individually of one another, it's really easy to get excited because, you know, you see a guy like Jalen Johnson, he's 6'9", 225, and, you know, can basically levitate when he wants to. So, you know, obviously you love a guy like that. You know, I think DJ Stewart, who's a little bit closer to where you are, he's, you know, from Chicago. He's got this toughness. He's got this scorer's mentality. Put himself in some pretty good company. Their season debut, he had 24 points, the only freshman to score more than that in a Duke debut. A couple of guys, Zion, RJ Barrett, and Marvin Bagley. So, you know.
I've heard of those guys.
You know, it's a good trio to be mentioned with. But, yeah, I agree with you. You know, I'm not sure how all of the pieces fit together. I think that Duke has, you know, about five or six different long, lanky, athletic wings. They don't really have a true big man. And they've sort of got two point guards. And as you say with quarterbacks, if you've got two, do you really have one? So I don't love the fit of all the pieces. But, again, I'm certainly not going to bet against Mike Krzyzewski. I'm not going to bet against the level of talent there is on the roster. I just am not totally sure if all the puzzle pieces fit right now.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of this game in general, one of the things I'm really curious about, and it's because we've only, you know, really we've seen Duke for one game, seen Michigan State for two. I'm really kind of curious about the mixing and matching of rotations and kind of who does what and which coach kind of is able to find the advantages in the matchups. You know, Michigan State is right now playing, has like four different guys kind of competing for minutes at the five, and they are pretty, they're fives, right? They're five men. Duke doesn't really have like a center. The one freshman played 4 minutes the other day, and the kid from Columbia, Tepe, right?
Right.
Didn't play in the opener at all. Was there a reason for that, or did he just not play?
Yeah, so the reason is that Coppin State doesn't barely have anybody in the roster taller than 6'7". So basically, Coach K said after the game, you know, these guys, they are going to play more, but we're not going to put them out there because as soon as he put them out there, they just got dribbled around and through and you know, shredded to holes. So I do think that the post, though, when you talk about it, it's a major area where Michigan State can have an advantage. I just think the number of bodies that they can throw at that position. Jalen Johnson from the four spot had to basically handle the entire rebounding load for the team against Coppin State. I don't think that given the depth that Michigan State has in the post, I don't think he's going to be able to do that again. So I really see that as a area where Michigan State can sort of expose and exploit Duke a little bit.
So, but what's curious there to me is like, yeah, Michigan State has these guys, but it ain't Nick Ward. It ain't Xavier Tillman. These are not like, you know, post players who are scoring threats and that you're going to play through and that you're going to, you know, go back to the basket stuff. Like, it's not that. You know, Marcus Bingham has shown a couple things and he had a couple nice post moves against EMU, but you're not putting his ass on the block and throwing, you know, post entry passes to him all game. Julius Marble still has a lot to do to prove himself. Thomas Kithier is Thomas Kithier. And Matty Sissoko is miles away from being, you know, a game-ready guy, especially in a matchup like this. So, you know, to that extent, and I asked Izzo this today on a Zoom call, was I wonder if Michigan State then instead kind of matches up with Duke and goes a little bit smaller, go with Joey Hauser at the five and kind of play more of that stretch look. And then you can have Malik Hall or a Gabe Brown or an Aaron Henry playing your four spot. And now you're both going small.
Right.
And I don't know. Like, I don't know how that's actually going to play out.
I think to me that makes a lot of sense from both perspectives, because if I'm Coach K, I went so small and it worked well, but I could even go smaller. Like, you know, Duke is – Jalen Johnson's 6'9". He's 225. He's going to be able to go in and get boards. But they used him a lot at the four alongside Matt Hurt, who's another sort of, you know, stretch pick-and-pop guy. ideally, I think this is a team that likes to play more five out than a four than four and one in. I think that they just have so many different guys who can handle the ball, so many different guys who can slash to the basket. I mean, they realistically could go three or four deep at the three. So going small, I think, is something that they would prefer, and especially if Michigan State is not, you know, supremely confident in any of those true fives, very, very easily I could see this being a small game, which I think in that respect might favor Duke a little bit more, just because they do have so many different guys that can ball handle and score and do all that stuff you love for guards to do.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's any distinct advantage that Michigan State would really get by playing, you know, by leaning into any of those, you know, heavy minutes at the five with traditional, with any of their traditional centers. So yeah. let me ask you a little bit about the guard play. Jordan Goldwire, who is just seems like a dude who's kind of been through everything at Duke, and is I don't think he's had any like preseason accolades on the ACC. He's just like Jordan Goldwire. He's a senior and he's just going to play, right?
He's a former three-star recruit. You know, he was one of those guys who was sort of an afterthought in the class. And, you know, when people come and they have their 6 month stay in Durham, he's the one who actually bought a place. So, you know, he's been there 4 years now. He knows the system. I'll say this about him. I think that he, as a defensive guy, I think a lot is going to be asked of him between Foster and Rocket. I think that he is going to draw that matchup a lot. And he's going to have the primary responsibility of shutting those guys down because he's bigger, he's stronger, he's a little bulkier. But I was curious how you thought that rotation would go. I read your I read Colton's story from the opener, and obviously read your story about Sam. But how do you see that rotation breaking out, and how does that what does that mean for Michigan State?
I mean, I think the point guard spot's huge for Michigan State in this game, and it's. You know, Foster's going to play. He's going to – I would – if I were setting it over-under, I'd put it at, you know, 15 minutes at least. It could be 18 in that range. And, you know, can he hold his own? And it's defensively. It's, you know, if he gets switched on to guys, you know, does he just get posted up and just buried? You know, like everyone remembers last year's game. You know, he was a laughingstock after – that play with Trey Jones, you know, right. Where he rode him like a surfboard down the lane and laid it up. Like that was like Michigan fans are still using that meme someplace, you know,
as they should, as they should responsibly.
So like that was a thing, you know, and that's kind of been, you know, that was very much a moment when you're just like, okay, Foster Lawyer is not playable in games of this level. Right. And it's great that he can go and make fourth or sixth threes or whatever he did against EMU. Terrific. But like, Duke isn't going to play a shitty 2-3 zone and you just get to set your feet and take open threes all game. You know, like, that ain't happening. So, like, is Foster Lawyer ready to play in a game like this? We'll find out. I have no idea.
Right.
But, you know, maybe the bigger question is probably on Rocket Watts. And is he in – this will be a good test for him when he actually gets true point guard minutes and he is the lead guy out there. What's his level of control? What's his level of decision-making with the ball? When he is out on the break, you know, does he know when to go and finish or when to make the pass that leads to a basket and when to pull things back, right? Duke's or Michigan State's going to look to run on makes and misses. Is Rocket going to be of the mindset that it takes to go and play a team like Duke on the road when he's at the point? I don't know. We will see. It is a really interesting dynamic, but he's going to play a ton in this game, and it's because, you know, for defense as much as anything. I imagine he gets matched up on, you know, on shit, I don't even know, because Wendell Moore is going to play a ton, right? And I don't know if Langford gets that assignment or if Watts does. You know, Watts is probably a slightly better defender right now, so you would just put him on whoever's better.
Right.
So you would think they put him on Moore.
My biggest thing about Rocket Watts is I think he, maybe even more than Hauser or Langford or anyone else from Michigan State, I think he's the guy who is going to make the Spartans sink or swim. Mm. And I say that because this Duke team is so fast and so athletic that they want to thrive in transition. And if he starts rushing things, if he starts getting sloppy with the ball, they're going to break in transition and they're going to bust the game open.
Right.
But I think if he can play more under control, like you said, I think if, you know, if he sort of uses the guys around him, if he's not trying to overexert himself, you know, then I think it's a different story. But yeah, you know, Duke basically has three guys that can rotate at the point guard spot. You know, Goldwire's more of the defensive look. Jeremy Roach is, you know, still coming back from injury a little bit towards ACL in high school, and he's not 100%, but close to it. And then DJ Stewart, you know, who the aforementioned who you know, sure, scores with the best of them. So it'll be interesting to see, but I really think that if Rocket is out of control, it can sink Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And if he's in control, I think he's athletic enough that he can expose Duke a little bit in terms of their perimeter defense.
I'm interested in the fact that you described Duke as being, you know, really fast and athletic. You know, because there were times where I was watching the Coppin State game, and when, and this isn't just a, this isn't to pick on the white guys, but when they had both Matthew Hurt and Joey Baker out there, like, I was like, like, just, it looks like a pretty slow Duke team to me. You know what I mean?
So, right. So
what's,
I guess,
the balance there?
So if that's your shot, then let me offer you this, Chaser. Let me offer you Jeremy Roach and DJ Stewart in the backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
With Wendell Moore at the three, and then at the four, Jamin Brakefield, who didn't play a ton of minutes, but Coach K said he loved, you know, the way he run the floor. He's got great pick and pop potential. And then Jalen Johnson at the five.
Sure.
That is, you know, not to clown on Joey Baker, Matt Hurt. You're getting a lot more speed out of that lineup.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I think, you know, you just have to weigh the upside. Is are there going to be perimeter looks? If there are, then Joey Baker and Matthew Hurt need to be in the game. If this is, if there are not going to be open looks or those guys aren't knocking down shots, no, you go for the athlete, you go for transition, and you try and thrive on someone like Rocket Watts not being able to live in the moment.
What does Duke's ceiling look like, you know, with Hurt and Baker kind of having, I don't know, primary isn't the right word, but large roles?
So the staff has said all offseason that in practice, Hurt has been the leading scorer consistently. Mm. He's, you know, he's someone who he put on 20 pounds of muscle over the offseason. And last year, especially, you know, when they got into the meat of the ACC, he just got pushed around. I mean, he couldn't defend anybody in the post. He was far too weak, couldn't guard anyone on the perimeter. He was way too slow. And, you know, working on foot speed's a little bit harder than putting on a couple of pounds. So he bulked up, and they're hoping to use him more as a stretch five. If that happens, I don't know. He looked okay in the opener. He looked more confident, more assertive. But again, if he's not going to be a guy that you can consistently look to as an inside-outside threat, then there is a really big vacancy in the interior of this team, you know, defensively and offensively. And you're asking Jalen Johnson, he's really good, but you're asking him to do a lot if you're expecting him to put up, you know, 19 boards a night. That's just not going to happen. So I think that there will be shots that fall for Hurt more than Baker over time. Baker, I think, is going to be much more of a, you know, utility guy, maybe 10 minutes a game. But they're sort of riding Hurt, and they're hoping that he develops into that stretch four that, that made him a top 10 prospect coming out of high school. You know, whether he gets there or not, we'll see. You know, we saw one game, but he, I think, you know, long term is probably the make or break for Duke's season. If he plays like a guy who's, you know, 18-8, 18-9, this is a team that maybe has some Final Four aspirations. If he plays like a guy who has 14-5 and is getting run off the floor against really strong opponents, you know, when Duke plays Illinois and Kofi Cockburn, he's going to have a second Thanksgiving feast. Right. I mean, it's going to be really bad. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was just stunned to see Baker start in the opener. And was that just a, hey, this guy's been around a little bit, let's just go with the known commodity and kind of ease into things against Coppin State? Or is he an actual starter on this team?
No, first one, ding, ding, ding. It's a, it's an ode to him being a veteran. And also Coach K said that it was a coin flip whether he was going to start Baker or DJ Stewart. He ended up starting Baker. Stewart started the second half. I would expect Stewart to start going, you know, from here on out. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he starts against Michigan State. He's just got so much more upside. He's so much more versatile.
Sure.
They can use him as a one or a two. So he's a really nice backcourt piece for them to have.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The turnovers in that game, Duke had 22 of them. It was their most, I think, since the loss of Stephen F. Austin. What's his name? Johnson had 7 of them, I think. Is that like legit concern, or is it just one-off thing? Coppin State probably was running around like, you know, madmen just trying to do whatever they could because they can't do anything else.
I think it's a combo. Like, I think, you know, I think the better question would be back to you.
I'm the one asking the question.
Here's the thing. A lot of those turnovers were self-inflicted. And a lot of it, I think, was because Coppin State had 5 dudes who were all, you know, 6'6". Mm-hmm. None of them could really rebound, but they're going to play their ass off, and they're playing in Cameron their one time, you know. So I think some of them were created because of that, and some of them, I think, was Duke first game chitters. You got 7 new guys. I mean, this, when we talk about Duke, everyone sort of expects them to rebuild every year, but they've always got returners that are like, you know, proven at least in experience or you know, skill or something like that. This year's group doesn't really have that. Like, none of the returners have been full-time starters. None of the returners have been, you know, full-time consequential pieces. They've all been part-time role players. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think some of the turnovers is because of that, but this is a Michigan State team that has so much more experience than Duke does. They have guys who have played in those moments. I would not at all be surprised if Michigan State takes advantage of some of the sloppiness and lack of cohesion Duke has. What do you see Michigan State's defensive upside being, both for this game and, you know, sort of projecting out for the whole season?
Yeah, it's pretty high level, pretty high level. You know, and that's hard to say when you lose Xavier Tillman, but when Rocket's in there
And on the perimeter, they're going Rocket Watch, Josh Langford, Aaron Henry at the point of attack. That's pretty damn good, man. And yeah, you know, they're going to be susceptible probably in some ball screens here and there. And the back line isn't what it was. And communication's going to take a minute and stuff like that. But Rocket Watch is so good at the point of attack. And you can just, between him and Aaron Henry, when you can just put one on the best guard and one on the best wing, I mean, it's, you're going to be really good. So, you know, at, down low and at center, none of these guys are going to wow you, but, you know, Bingham, while he can be prone to, you know, doing the wrong thing, defending a ball screen or maybe switching or things like that, he's also their best rim protector, and he's an elite weak side defender, and he can kind of change the game at the rim and things like that, and has played really well starting out here. I'll be really curious to see what kind of minutes he gives Michigan State in this, because he, when you talk about Michigan State's ceiling, like if Bingham can be close to what people have always envisioned him being, I mean, they that's stock to buy in the team and him. So
it sounds like you're higher on their defensive upside than their offensive upside.
I mean, I think their offensive upside is, I hate the expression, but it kind of is what it is. Like it, they can score the ball. You know, they're everyone's making a big deal about their assists right now. They've assisted on 88% of their baskets so far, but they've also played two teams that primarily played a ton of zone. So, yeah. Look, they're doing it by committee. They're replacing Cassius Winston by, playing just kind of unselfish Michigan State basketball and playing through Aaron Henry a lot more and playing through Joey Hauser as kind of a high post guy who can pass the ball and move the ball and things like that, and they can run, and everyone's very unselfish. So it's – there's a lot of good things to like about Michigan State offensively. You know, if they're, especially if they're hitting shots, it's pretty damn good. So
yeah.
I think in terms of the coaches, you know, they want to know what the defensive upside is in terms of their long term. You know, can they play defense at a level that can go win a national championship?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, when I look at that Michigan State team, the experience and having built in some semblance of, okay, we know where we're supposed to be offensively, we know where we're supposed to be defensively. Like, it seems like Izzo's guys just, they always have a knack for it, but especially so this year. You know, I am fascinated by Langford being back. Like, I think that is such a cool story. I don't know how back he is, how healthy he is. I would assume that if he's, you know, playing and starting, then he is. But, you know, having guys like that that are, you know, they just come back into the fray. Okay, come back in. Duke doesn't have that. So I think it's going to be sloppy. I think, you know, I think Michigan State could cause some problems for this offense. It's very much felt a lot in their opener like they were trying to out-athlete Coppin State. You can out-athlete Coppin State. You know, Jalen Johnson single-handedly can do that, as evidenced by his 19-19 5-4 stat line. Can you do that against a Michigan State team that knows a little bit better that you're coming, that has this experience? I'm not so sure. So I think it'll be interesting to see whether Duke has a better grasp of what it wants to do rather than, okay, you know, we got five AAU stars, you know, figure it out on the fly. That's not going to fly against Michigan State.
Yeah, that was what jumped out to me when you were talking about the fact that, like, Duke's returnees aren't guys who have had, you know, large roles and are now just going to, you know, maybe step into like all ACC type roles, because it's that dynamic paired with the fact that they also don't have like the guaranteed sure shot lottery pick out there. You know, Johnson's really good and Stewart's really good, but like they weren't walking into this year as like, that's a top five or top 10 pick for sure.
There's no Zion this year. There's no Zion. Yeah. There's no Zion this year. So yeah, it's much more, you know, actually in this way, I would say it's much more Michigan State. Like it's much more sum of the parts. You know, there are guys who are going to have nights. Johnson's going to have his nights. Stewart's going to have his nights. I think Jeremy Roach, as he continues to get healthy, he's going to have his nights. Wendell Moore, you know, I did a preseason feature on him. He's going to have some nights. are those guys going to do that consistently? I'm not so sure. I think the guy with the most upside clearly is Jalen Johnson. I mean, he's got a pro ready body now. He's a really special passer. I mean, his vision is it's something. I mean, you're going to see tomorrow, he's going to make some cross court passes, you know, where he hangs in midair and flicks it behind his back. Mm-hmm. You know, he's capable of doing stuff like that physically. Mentally, I think he's still figuring out, how do I operate in a half court? How do I run a set? We don't know how good of a shooter he is. He only took and made his 1-3 in the opener. So, you know, TBD on whether that's consistent or not. But yeah, no other guys besides Johnson really have that lottery level upside. It's much more a group that's going to have to complement each other. You know, and some of those returners that we talked about who are role players, they're going to have to provide more. And I'm just not so sure that they're ready to do that, but it'll be a fascinating game. I mean, I think it is, it's going to be so weird that it's happening in an empty Cameron. You know, neither of us are going to be there. There's going to be no fans there. It's wild, but it'll be a hell of a game. I'm pumped to go back and watch it.
It's funny that you bring up Lankford. I think this is like his 8th Champions Classic. He probably remembers playing against, like, I don't know, Emile Jefferson and like Quinn Cook. In some old Champions Classics. I don't know.
Lankford is he is starting to feel like Perry Ellis.
We're
getting into that territory.
Yes. Well, all right. Well, good job, man. I appreciate you coming on. You wore your mask responsibly through the whole podcast. Maybe you could talk to some coaches and get them to understand what the actual purpose of wearing
it. I need to send Archie Miller a text straight away. I want to ask you before we hop off.
Yeah.
I want you to be, you know, have something that can be taken to the internet and shamed. I need a prediction.
Oh, sure.
So that we can come back and laugh at these in 48 hours time.
I like Michigan State here. I really thought they found some things in the second half against Notre Dame. Now Notre Dame is not very good, but, considering what I saw from Duke, that seems like very much a group that's still trying to probably some time for them to find themselves a little bit, and maybe at least a couple games. But I like what Michigan State got out of the second half against Notre Dame. Okay. So I'm going to say, or when I say second half, I should say second half of the first half against Notre Dame and then moving forward. So I like where they're at. Making shots in a empty Cameron indoor isn't quite as hard as making shots in a normal Cameron indoor. Like, one of the things that's fascinating about it is, you know, haven't been to games down there. You've obviously been to a bunch, but just my experience being down there is, like, something that's so hard to communicate to people who've never been is that when you're watching Duke play in Cameron, you know it's coming. Like, you can be up 8, and you know that Duke is going to put together a 15-0 run, and you're just waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. And I don't know if that dynamic exists in this setting. So I consider it a neutral floor. And on a neutral floor right now, I like Michigan State by like 5 or 6 points over Duke.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally fair. You know, some of the other ACC coaches and assistants that I've gotten to speak with in the preseason, they're like, yeah, you know, Cameron is a 5 to 10 point swing baked into Duke for home games. And certainly not having that. I mean, Coach K said after the opener, it's different. It's not good different for us. This is not helping us. Yeah. So yeah, you know, I think I'm in the same boat with you. I would take Michigan State. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be interesting. But I think ultimately, yeah, this is going to be a Duke team that, you know, right now they're not going to be blowing people away. But come February, January, when they've had a little bit more time to gel, people forget Duke was the last team in the ACC to bring their players back. They didn't bring guys back till August 1st. So again, it's still been a couple of months, but compared to teams that were coming back end of June, beginning of July, it is an extra month that you missed out on. So I'm going to go with Michigan State as well. I think if you were to play this game again in February, we might be talking about a different result, but Spartans experience weighs out for me, at least early on.
Perfect. Very good. Well, Despite your good performance, I think for your nickname, we're going to go with the asshole of Asheville. We're going to lock that in.
I will respectfully take that and do my best to tag it to Archie Miller on his way out of town.
There you go. All right, man. Well, thank you for coming on. Hope that the folks out there got a nice little preview for this game. It should be good. I know, like the preview I just wrote, it's going to be two teams with national title aspirations that are finally get to kind of measure themselves against another. And right now, as weird as things are, who cares? You know, this should be good basketball and at least an entertaining game to watch. So I imagine you feel the same way.
Absolutely. Good ball above all. We'll take it.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And even though those restaurants are closed, make sure you're supporting your local restaurants. And if you do get a chance when you're there, make sure you take care of those bartenders and servers with some fine gratuity, because we're all going to get through this thing. All right. Thanks, everyone.